I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
What is going on, everybody? My name is Cutter Lawler. Welcome back to another week of Weird News Wednesdays. This is the Heroes for Hire podcast. We are back again talking all the strangest news stories from around the world. We talk about the news that the real news is too afraid to talk about. As always, I am joined by my best pal, Mr. Sean Mead. Sean, I blacked out during that intro.
I was just going to say, I was like, this is fucking flawless, this intro. There's no little mistakes that I can pick you up on at all.
Do you know, I wasn't even thinking. My mouth was just moving.
Your brain just no, I got this, and just took over your body.
It was like I was drunk. Like, I was out of my own body and I was just doing shit. That was the best we've ever done, and I can never replicate it because it was,
Connor,
I didn't do anything.
It's recorded. It's fine. We can just chop that in any episode we need.
We'll do a second take.
I can do it better. No, don't work on perfection, Connor. We could save ourselves 20 seconds of recording time if we just use that every time and just get straight into things.
20 seconds once a week, every week for 52 weeks is 52 20 seconds. So that is like 2-3 minutes. No, yeah. 20 minutes.
About 20 minutes or so.
And then good.
Times that by the amount of years we're going to do this show. So that's, you know,
it's about 15
18 minutes. We've said. There we go.
I went a bit lower. I have less faith.
Do you ever think we spend too much time chatting to each other?
Yes. And this is weird news. What do we do here, Sean?
You have spent the week gathering all of the weirdest news stories from around the world. You're about to read them all out to me. Manu has been too busy optimizing conversations to save time to look at any weird news.
Using AI?
No, I've just been saying no to people and leaving.
No.
Do you know what's fucked, actually, is I found an AI that edits a podcast.
Fuck off.
It's like, you know those podcasts you see that have video because people want, I don't know, for social media you need video.
Yeah, but my favourite video, by the way, was that video with the two women who were just like, I would buy that restaurant. Yeah, it was like it was a dude bro podcast, but they were doing it. It was so fucking funny. I don't know their name. I would love to give them a shout out, but I can't remember.
Buy all the utility companies and then make money every time. Just simply pass go. But you literally, you like put in the video, put in the audio, be like, that's when this person is speaking. And then you just press go, and this fucking thing chops up the whole podcast and does it for you. Like,
what?
Now, I hate AI, right? But I also hate editing podcasts.
That is true. That is true. But I have a follow-up. Would it understand our accents?
See, this is the thing. It doesn't matter what's being said. Now, the accent thing comes in when I do captions for, like, the videos we put
up. Nothing. It doesn't understand a fucking word.
I basically have to type it by hand. It's hilarious. But this one just detects when noise is being made, when someone is talking. So if you imagine it, you have a camera on you, I have a camera on me, and then there's one on the both of us, it'll just cut between those. If we're talking at the same time, it'll go to the wide camera. It's fucked.
Okay, so what you're saying is we need to start a dude bro podcast where we talk about shares and crypto.
Yeah, and I think we're the two men best suited to cover that. Now that the crypto bubble has popped and NFTs are dead.
We're coming in hard. once it's in flames, we're coming in on that. Not when it's hot. We don't need it.
That's when we jumped in on the comic book movie news. Right at the end of saturation on that one.
Right around Avengers Endgame. Now's the time.
People have been crying out for two more
people to talk about. People are never going to get sick of this. It's the best.
We'll never get sick of this.
Oh, man. So, look, yeah, this is weird news. By the way, Movie Monthly's out next week. So
Folks, very excited to talk about. A shit ton has happened, actually.
So much.
It's great. Yeah, there's news.
This is weird news. And we're going to start this week. Shall I? I've got two options for you.
Okay.
I've got one, seagull, two, donkey. It's up to you where we start. This is around the world this week. I've got two weird news stories regarding one of, or both of them. Hang on. Okay. I've got one weird news story regarding both of them. There you go.
There's not one story that combines a seagull and a donkey. That's not on the table.
Unfortunately, I don't have that this week, no.
Okay, well, I'm going to have to give a shout out to my boy Jesus and pick the donkey.
Shout out to the big Jason.
You don't hear too much of him these days.
Yeah, he's very quiet these days.
Very underground at the minute.
Oh, man. We're coming in hard at that bubble as well.
Now's the time.
Now's the time. All the priests are dying out in Ireland. Every one of them is 93. You know what I mean?
I do indeed.
So we're starting up. You've chosen donkey. I will lie, and I actually misread it, and it is a goat. But we're going to go with it anyway. Like, basically, the same.
Shout out to my friend Satan.
Loves goats.
Mad
big
on
into
goats,
that guy. So I have spookily accurate psychic goat predicts future, and it's bad news for Prince Harry.
Sounds like a threat.
I think that goat's going to kill Prince Harry, is all I'm going to say.
That goat is now on a watch list, and rightly so.
So, a psychic goat who predicts the future with tarot cards has turned his attention to the royal family, and it's bad news for those hoping for a reconciliation, Sean.
Would you say it's bad news, Connor?
No, I wouldn't. Right. I would say it's all bad news. I would say it's awful news, actually. Billy, age 6, can look forward in time with the help of his owner, Sue Zacharias, and has performed for audiences across the UK special animal tarot cards.
What's an animal tarot card versus a regular tarot card?
Are they different? Is Satan a fucking goat in the tarot card?
Well, Satan and goats are inherently linked, Connor.
Yeah, everyone knows
that. I'm sure you know. It's a classic pentagram symbol. Animal. I'm just getting a load of tarot decks themed after animals. This one's an octopus.
So, look, here's the deal, right? You picked goat, I've got a psychic goat who predicts the fucking future. This is weird news, he came out this week, I only just found out about Billy, and now everyone else needs to know about him, right?
That's fair, sorry, I'll stop interrupting.
Billy's a goat, he's age 6, he has the power to see the future.
Forward in time.
He can look forward in time, correct, right? You might be wondering where he got this power. Well, his older Sue, her grandmother had the gift, Sean. And he had the gift, right? And would read tea leaves for war wives in the 1940s in England.
No, okay? No, she didn't.
She did.
That can't happen.
And she passed on a legacy of fortune telling through the generations. And then
from mother to daughter.
To daughter to daughter.
Right.
Then Sue got a pet goat and taught the pet goat how to see the future.
See.
Questions.
I'm confused now because it sounds like, quote unquote, the gift was something that was inherent to the bloodline, not just something you could teach to anyone, such as a goat.
So then it's not hereditary, it's teachable. And at that point, then anyone could learn it.
That's the thing. She could have been passing this around. She hoarded this gift for herself. Don't you think I want to talk to some war wives?
But here's the thing, right? So he kind of specialises in royalty.
Why? Of all the things to...
It's a niche subject.
It's very niche. Again, coming in at the tail end of things being popular as well.
You had a dog or a goat that was legitimately magic. That could see the fucking future. Why would you faction them off into a certain segment? I'd be making bank off every fucking topic.
Or even if you had to specialise. We had a fucking octopus that guessed the World Cup, like. You remember Paul?
Oh, I remember Paul. Yeah. We all remember Paul.
Put my kids through school, Paul did.
So, and now Sue's taught it to her pet goat, and he's looked into what the coming months have in store for everyone's favourite son, Prince Harry, Sean.
Everyone's favourite? I mean, look, of all of them, it's probably the most...
It's tough as two Irish lads.
It's tough. I can't say anything positive, I'm sorry.
Tough. Does anyone have any idea of the history?
There's a lot going on there that's just brushed under the rug consistently.
And said his factious relationship with his brother William will continue to trouble them both. Thank you, Billy the Goat.
I could have guessed that. And I'm not a
mom of Sue. Mom of two, Sue, lives on a farm owned by her ex-husband's parents. Sean, this is very important.
You're hitting me with a whole bunch of information. So,
mom of two, Sue, lives on a farm that is owned by her ex-husband's parents.
Yes. So, why aren't the kids psychic? Because if it's passed
down... They're not goats.
So if it's not passed down, it's taught. You can only teach it to one person. She had two kids and she decided, nah, it's the goat
for
me, boys.
She hates the fucking kids. She hates the sight of them. She hates the heads off them. She said, I'd actually rather teach a fucking goat to see the future than the two idiots.
That's why they broke up. Her and the husband. That she taught this gift to the goat and not the kids.
He couldn't handle it. He was just he couldn't understand what was going on. Why would you waste this one shot? And so they've lived there for 13 years and collectively trained horses. Lovely. The grad of three was given Billy, who is the size of a Shetland pony, fucking hell, by a friend with her previous goat, which...
Oh, something harrowing happened to this other goat, I want to say.
So she had a goat before Billy...
Mm-hmm.
And that goat also had the gift.
So she taught to two goats? Or did this goat naturally have the gift? Oh, what if... Because the goats aren't related.
The goat taught the other goat, but he died before the second goat came along.
So she hasn't passed on the gift then yet, is the...
Yeah.
But all we
know is this goat's making history this week. Like, it's after coming out, has some strong viewpoints, was once part of a different family that also had a different goat that was psychic somehow, only had the two psychic goats ever in history. They must be very good teachers that we know of.
But the goats do tarot cards and the humans do tea leaves. Is that it? I'm trying to fucking rationalise this in my head.
I think that's how it works, but how would you... Is that like a cross... It's a cross sports thing. How do you teach someone that if you're more in the tea leaves
area? A transferable skill there in interpreting things to mean various things, I suppose, but I don't know if a goat's able to do that. How is he able to get so specific and be like, the royal family, that's what this is about?
Billy's psychic powers, Sean, have proved spookily accurate over the last few years. Spookily accurate.
Okay, hit me with some of his predictions.
In 2019, for example, he correctly predicted one of the men who came to see him would get married and have a family. And in 2022, Sean,
Billy,
the man visited
again.
2019,
was there nothing on the horizon that you could have fucking warned us about?
Nothing else. Can't think of anything else that's coming, lads.
Really? I'd wager the wedding didn't even fucking go ahead because of the event that we weren't warned about.
When he visited again with his wife and his baby in 2022, Sean.
Their wedding plans were probably severely interrupted, Connor, if they had gotten married in years prior.
I have tarot cards especially for animals, so he will choose a card with his mouth. It's incredibly accurate, she says.
Is it though? How does he pick them? Like, how does he define between various cards? Because with a tarot card, you're like, you shuffle the deck, and then you just turn things over. But he's just picking them based on what looks the most delicious, presumably.
Yeah.
Tarot cards for animals. Because this is what I wager she did, is just fucking Google it.
He was asked if Nicola Sturgeon would be arrested in a police probe. To do with the SNP finances, who's Nicola Sturgeon, if anyone doesn't know, is a politician in Scotland. Has been in hot water recently. And Billy was asked, would she be arrested in a police probe? Billy thought, she's going to get away with it. She won't be nicked. Don't you worry. So,
and to be fair, has she been?
To be honest with you, Nicola, I would start looking around. I think you're going to be arrested.
I think you want to get that goat on staff, if anything. Just like consistently get readings from him.
He also predicted that Keir Starmer, that is the man going for the British Prime Minister role, he would be missing out on becoming PM. And he also believes that Arsenal will be pipped to the title by Man City.
Oh, well, that's likely or unlikely, Connor.
It's pretty close at the minute, Sean.
Is it? Okay, that's what I was thinking, you see. I didn't want to come down on one side.
As of today, I'm pretty sure they're playing tonight, actually.
All right, okay. I'll be watching intently.
Name one Arsenal player.
Oh, fuck.
Can you name one City player?
No, but I can name every character in Ted Lasso, if that helps.
Ooh, pretty good. So, look, they're doing professional reading, Sean. We get a lot of people not wanting a deep or serious reading. Mostly, I think, this is not what Sue said, but imagine being told you have days to live by a fucking goat. I don't know if I would recover, even just emotionally, from... It would be embarrassing, and I don't know why.
Yeah. It'd be one thing to be told by, like, a psychic.
Or a doctor.
If you're a doctor and you have 2 days to live, it's like, wow, that is specific. But if a goat tells you, if you then believe that, I think, it somehow muddies the water of your debt of being like, oh, no, but he believed a fucking goat in the end. That's what he died doing. That's what killed him.
So what happens is you walk in, you stroke Billy the goat for a while, they put their hand on the deck of cards, and then Billy chooses a card for them. I like to think in my head he's doing that, like one of those card tricks where he's like flicking them all between each hoof. He then chooses it for them, and then that is your future. Sue says it's quite life affirming, and my favourite thing is that, I mean, he's now got it out for Prince Harry. It's not looking good. So
Prince Harry came in and did this, or they did it on his behalf?
No, I think he just did it on his behalf. I think that's a...
Like, so I wouldn't be thrilled about that now, someone taking my
future. Here's the thing, though, because at the start of every year, we do Asparagus Lady, who predicts the future using asparagus, and now we have Goat. Billy the Goat, who
Tarot
predicts
goat.
The future.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know which one's more accurate.
Well, this is what I was going to ask, is like, which animal would you believe a psychic reading from? The classic Sean Meehan pickup line there.
Dolphin? I mean, that's the obvious answer. They seem smart.
They do seem smart. You're going smart animals, like...
But I also think they're shithouses. Like, I think dolphins will kill you. So if they tell you, oh, you're going to be grand, I believe them.
I'd check your six on the way out, is what I'd be saying there.
I wouldn't trust them, but I believe them.
I was thinking a raven. If a raven told my fortune, I'd be like, yeah, that's probably accurate.
I think raven's the right answer.
It's the only acceptable psychic animal.
If a raven's in a tree and starts telling you your fucking future, I'm like, yeah.
Believe
that
shit.
This raven knows shit. This raven definitely knows stuff. What's the least helpful?
The least helpful one. The least trustworthy one.
Least trustworthy. A sloth.
A sloth's pretty bad. Yeah, you want like a ludicrous animal. Like an animal that just shouldn't be, you know? Like a platypus.
Platypus. One of those weird animals that lives in the sea that's like 50,000 feet down.
Yeah, yeah. Something like a blobfish or some shit like that. Or like the one that like it will be the most charming, but objectively I feel that they'd be too positive about the whole thing. It's like a golden retriever telling you your fortune. Yeah. She's like, oh, everything will be fine, don't worry about it.
You got 2 days left, bud. Don't worry about it. It's going to be a great 2 days.
It's great, yeah. Going to go to the park. Be great.
So I wanted to move from goats, Sean, because there's, I mean, look, there's a bit of, I was going to say there's a bit of a glut in jobs at the minute. Maybe jobs are hard to come by for some people. Rise of inflation, Sean. You know all those... terms,
this going?
Like terms, environmental issues.
That's all going on.
But Sean, what if I could offer you the perfect job for you?
Oh, for me in particular?
No, probably just mostly for everyone. I'd do like the ad pitch.
Oh right, okay, sorry. No, I thought you actually had.
I know you hate big business.
I do. I do. Yeah. Big against it.
You do hate big business, but also you're very into like funding quiet people behind the scenes who quietly influence us all through media. Isn't that what you said to me?
No, I think you've gotten the wrong end of the stick there, Connor. Not in favour of that, please.
No, so look, you hate your job. You've told me off mic multiple times. You've said that to me, okay?
For legal reasons, that's a joke.
You would have just said I didn't say it. I may have said it, but it was off mic.
But I was pissed at the time.
But Sean, I have a new job for you at Blackpool Zoo.
Oh.
Because they're looking to recruit a human seagull. Yes, you can dress up in a big seagull costume.
I don't know why. That's not the... How does that represent a seagull accurately if it's the size of a person?
So you basically have to dress as a massive, you have to dress as a massive eagle and keep the seagulls away.
Is that, it's like a scarecrow for seagulls is...
You got that right, it's like a scarecrow for seagulls. Because seagulls, bastards, we all know that.
Yeah.
What are seagulls afraid of? Eagles.
Because they sound too similar.
They sound too similar and they share the same syllables. And so what they've decided to do is they've gotten people, humans, to dress up as an eagle in a massive eagle costume and then scare the seagulls away. And I think you're the perfect man for the job. I've put in your resume. I think you're going to get it. I'm very excited.
Why? What? Is this the best way to solve this problem? Is to hire someone to dress up like an eagle and fucking kick shit around the seagull enclosure?
So, what they're looking for, Sean, I'll read you the job application. It requires a friendly, energetic and outgoing person to don
the
costume.
Every job has that in the description.
All very generic. And keep seagulls away from the seaside attraction. So, seagulls, hooligans. All day hooligans, bastards. Oh, everyone knows.
Steal your chips.
True. The zoo explains that a deterrent is required, as seagulls have been known to nick food from visitors as well as from inside the animal enclosures, where they also ripped out an ice cream out of a child a few weeks ago.
I mean, well, look, they picked their target there, to be honest.
That's pretty funny. If you're going to pick anyone, pick the child.
You see that happening and you're not the child or its parents. That's the most funny shit you've seen all day.
It's the second afterwards when it goes away and you're just looking at the child and you're like oh, it's going to be good.
It's going to be tears because it's not even the fact that they lost the ice cream. It's the confusion. This has never happened to them
and
before.
And you feel kind of violated. I had it and now I don't.
And I did nothing wrong. I did nothing wrong in this scenario.
So at Blackpool Zoo, it goes without saying that we love all animals. And as a seaside resort, Blackpool is not short of seagulls. However, the seagulls are proving to be a bit of a nuisance when it comes to trying to steal food from our visitors and our animal enclosures. We need to do what we can to keep the seagulls away from the main visitor dining areas. They sound a bit sinister. Which is why we are looking for a team of people, not just one, to join our visitor services team as seagull deterrents.
You're getting a whole flock of eagles.
Yeah.
To combat this.
I would like you to look up the outfit for this job application, by the way, because I think you're going to like it. It's a high quality suit that you're thinking of. It's really good. They spent a lot of money on it, and I think you're going to really like it.
Oh, no. I assumed it would be like feathers and fur and stuff. But this is just inflatable.
But that's your future, Sean. I've already... I called your boss and quit for you.
I don't know.
This is your new role.
I don't like... Oh, this is weird. I don't care for this at all.
But what's this gap in your resume? Well... You're not going to believe me.
With you and several thousand seagulls, I'm the worst thing you've ever met.
So we need to do what we can to keep the seagulls away from our main visitor dining areas, which is why we are looking for a team of people, as they said. The listing adds, this role will be offered with variable seasonal hours. They also want the ideal candidate to be visitor focused, but they misspelled focused, flexible.
Beautiful.
And outgoing.
Right, okay, couple of questions here. Number one, what's the pay? Do they list the pay for this ridiculous job on their website?
Do you think they list the pay to dress up as an eagle?
They did not. Because why would that be relevant information for applying for a job?
It's a competitive wage.
Oh, is it now? Is it minimum? Because that's probably what it is.
It's pretty competitive. A lot of people on it.
It speaks volumes that none of their staff could just be like, this could be added in to like do an hour in the seagull outfit, you know?
Mm. Like it means the seagulls, they attack, I assume.
And why would you give you like an inflatable suit for beaked enemies? Like,
yeah, because they're going to just pop you and then they're going to kill you.
And then you fly away like a balloon in the air. Like, yeah. Then you're dead.
They're confused, but also respectful.
Yeah, because, you know, they're not bad guys at the end of the day.
No, they are. Seagulls are dicks.
Oh, of course.
Do you think there's like a big long training thing of like them doing brainwashing to be like, seagulls, they're the worst thing that's ever happened to all of humanity?
You have to just like indoctrinate all of these fucking workers to dress up as eagles.
They have like their eyes like sellotaped open just to see seagulls.
Is it that out of pocket to just release an eagle? I don't know.
But how do you train the eagle?
You can train eagles fucking easy. There's trained eagles.
Also, you're a zoo.
Yeah, you probably can't just let the animals kill each other. Otherwise, tickets would be a lot more expensive.
What's the natural predator of the seagull?
Of
that
course.
That is what we need to know here, Sean.
Natural predator of... No, skip past bobcat.
I assume it's the eagle, but we can go one more.
Natural predator of the seagull. Raccoons, minks, foxes, cats, birds of prey. I've got this figured out, Connor. Okay?
Mm.
And I'm going to do possibly the riskiest Google search I've ever done on this show. Which is... This is Blackpool, this zoo is?
Yeah.
I'm going to Google Blackpool furries and we're going to see if there's a meetup in Lancashire, Connor. So what you do, you fucking get them lads in their big cat costumes.
Ready.
They're already set to go. And then they just wander around the zoo, nice little day out with the lads.
Here's the thing, you need one furry who's a bird trainer and owns an eagle.
Yeah.
And then you've doubled up the attack.
That's a pincer attack is what you've got now.
Of every eagle trainer in the world, one of them has to be a fucking furry who dresses up as a cat.
Just
the
statistically.
The odds are just there.
That's how it works, you know?
There's got to be one and you got to put it up. Find the right person. You're bringing in two birds, one stone. Not quite, but you know what I mean.
No like, stones. No stones allowed, but two birds. Mm. One a bird and one a human in a bird suit.
I was thinking you were going to say, put a raccoon on an eagle.
Oh, that's also... that could do well in terms of like zoo attractions. You train them to be friends and they fight together.
No, I love the idea. This is all going on and none of it is an attraction. Like, yeah. The zoo is just really boring and there's like a whole fucking animal war going on to the side.
Because it sounds like just the seagulls are just rocking up to the zoo. Like, it's not like there's a seagull exhibit in the zoo, you know?
No, they're just there to wreck people's days.
Yeah, so, like, the seagulls are a wild card in the carefully controlled ecosystem of the zoo. And the only way to remedy that is either an eagle and a raccoon working in tandem, or get a bunch of grown-ups who like to dress up as animals and let them loose in a zoo. Those are your two options available.
With crossbows. You'd have to have crossbows
loaded at all times. And the thing is, like that idea, the furry thing, right? It's not that fucking far off from what they're advertising a position for. If anything, True. You could bring a better costume to the role.
Yeah, the furries would actually have a decent costume there.
Yeah.
Rather than the blow-up one.
Yeah, so like, I think they'd be insulted if you made them wear the blow-up one, you know? What do you could you rock up to a furry convention wearing one of those inflatable costumes? Do you think you would be kicked out?
You'd be laughed out of place. You'd be absolutely laughed out.
You'd leave yourself out of shame, quite honestly.
So okay, Sean, I want to move on to our next piece of news because
and delete my history.
delete that. So what I have here is a story that was sent in to us by one of our patrons, Connor. Not me, different Connor. It's a popular name here in Ireland.
I do get confused.
There would be no point in me giving myself the patron support fund just because, I mean, it would be pointless.
You are just giving money to Patreon at that point.
Yes. But yeah, so one of our patrons, Connor from Connor and Lorraine, I'm doing from the patron name, he has sent in a story that I think might be of interest to you, Sean, in that group sets record for world's largest Dungeons & Dragons game at Provo Hall with a total of 1,227 players participating in it.
Oh my God! How does that work? Like, how long does the combat phase take? Because everyone gets a turn.
Yes.
But was there like several games in the same story, or was it just one fucking big DM? So
Ashby Long dreamed of hosting the world's biggest Dungeons & Dragons game. Shortly after opening his store in the mall, he decided to make that dream a reality, and he contacted Guinness World Records. To break the record, Guinness told us we needed over 500 people, Ashby said. So the crowd on Saturday more than doubled what they needed. Tables and chairs crowded where people filled the hallways and open spaces on both levels of the mall throughout the day, with many participants dressed in costumes. So any sort of D&D event I would want to be a part of, but especially one where they're trying to break a world record. It's like, I wouldn't miss this, said Arisa Huffcutt, which has got to be a D&D name.
If it's not, you're perfectly set up to be a main character in your own life.
Your second name is Huffcutt and you're not into D&D. What the fuck are you doing?
Hey, look. I mean, a name is a name, Connor, but a D&D character, that's for life, maybe, depending
maybe
on how you
sometimes
roll.
Not really. So, Sean, you've looked this up. How would you feel about joining this game?
I mean, intimidated, I think, is the word. It's really cool. I'm looking it up, and it's, yeah, so they had 1,000 players, 200 DMs. So that's, because the DM, like, I don't know how much, like, DM leads the game.
Act like I have never heard of it, and I know a DM is a dungeon master, and you should have said that, but you didn't clear it up, Sean.
Apologies. Dungeon master.
I'm not down with you kids. What you're up to.
So that's 1,000 players to 200 dungeon masters. So that means that there's 500... No, 5 players per dungeon master.
Okay.
So it's not like 1,000 people all rolling dice simultaneously in the one game to see how to kill one goblin.
I like the idea of one goblin, 1,200 players, and like one dungeon master trying to corral them all in.
He just has a microphone and he just like gets really close and whispers, "You lose," and the goblin just goes beast mode.
The goblin has killed 700 of you. Still going.
He has not stopped. He's got an RSI from rolling so many dice all at once.
But look, the event wasn't even advertised, but D&D players are a tight-knit community, Sean, and words quickly spread of the goal. 1,000 people pre-registered to participate, and even more showed up in the morning hoping to join. So, like, that's a whole bunch of people, and kind of would be really good advertising for the current movie that's out in the cinema called Dungeons and Dragons. It's weird, really weird. It didn't connect those two together.
That is true. Also, just this isn't fun news, but the company behind Dungeons and Dragons, some YouTuber like did a review of some product that wasn't out yet, and they sent like private police to his house.
Fuck off.
Really fucking shitty thing to do. They're not like of all, like. Do you remember how Zachary Levi fumbled the bag really hard during the marketing for Shazam?
I do.
This is like them fumbling the bag, but like a week after their movie came out.
There's no need. There's no need for any of that. What we said about Zachary Levi, give it 5 weeks.
Yeah.
You can still say the same stuff, but allow the movie to happen for five weeks.
And don't send private police to a YouTuber's house.
That's my rules. You know that about me.
But fair play to everyone for showing up. That must have been a nightmare to fucking coordinate, though.
Like, so, Johnny Jensen, I mean, these
again,
have to be made
to
up.
Has to be a fake
has
name.
Has to be made up. Johnny Jensen, sounds like a Devil May Cry character. A volunteer who wrote the guidebook for Saturday's game said the players were given different situations to deal with inside and around an imaginary city. Their ultimate objective was defeating an evil wizard, but it was a city, and they were doing, like, so 200 games at once, all taking place in this one city.
And all, like, in the same story? Like, canonically,
all of these
were happening.
So I think it was 200 separate stories taking place within the same city.
My God, that's kind of cool. I like that. Because then you could meet up with people after and be like, what did you get up to, you know?
Yeah, so as the game was played, a system of runners communicated information between each table.
That's
and its
class.
Dungeon master.
That's unreal.
So there was like an update of what was happening on the other side of the city.
That's so, and you could coordinate things based on that. That makes me really happy. That's
very, very fun. So we just
wanted
to talk about this because it's pretty cool, but also pretty fucking mad that you got 1,200 people going to do that. Sean, I feel like, I don't know if it would work in Ireland. You'd probably get 1,000 people.
I think you would, genuinely. Like, you get a sizable amount anyway. You might have to advertise it a bit more, but people will travel for that kind of thing. D&D's big in Ireland, you know.
What's your character in D&D, Sean?
I have a hill dwarf cleric named Conrad Cask.
I knew you were a dwarf.
Yeah, just, it fits. It fits with everything about me. He's mad for the drink.
So what about your character, though?
He uses his life magic to cure hangovers. That's his whole deal.
He doesn't use his life magic to heal himself after battle. It's more just for the hangovers.
No, he'll heal himself after battle. He's a very strong boy, Conrad is. Good constitution on him.
I'd be a bastard.
I would love to play D&D with you, but you would do the most slimy shit in the world.
I'd be like, how can I betray Sean in this situation?
I stabbed Conrad in the back and run, leaving him as a distraction.
A massive evil wizard shows up. What will you do? I stab Sean in the back first, and then I take up my feet for the rest of it.
I negotiate terms with the wizard.
I sacrifice Sean as my prop. I'm like, allow me to pass and you can feed.
He's full of ale. He'll be delicious.
Okay, Sean, I think we need to move on because what we have next is a mystery that I think you need to solve because woman claims she received 150 soft drinks and delivered over the course of 3 days for no reason. I'm still not sure where they're coming from and how they're even getting here, she said.
Right, okay, and like in cans, in bottles, loose? Just a bag of liquid?
An Australian woman... has lured in internet sleuths to figure out why she's been receiving numerous bags of Powerade, Gatorade and other various soft drinks without ordering them. So she's a Sydney resident and she introduced the mystery on April 22nd with a video showing the 31 bags of soft drinks that had been delivered to her house over the course of 2 days. According to her, the bags held 125 bottles and each delivery had the same amount of beverages. Deliveries continued until 7 p.m. the following day. The third day of deliveries.
What the fuck? I don't like, maybe it's just a genuine mistake. Like a shop or something gave the wrong address on one of their orders.
Well, this time, on the third day, it was four quantities of Coke, Coke Zero, Fanta and Mount Franklin bottles. Mount Franklin bottles.
Australian people, tell us if that's good or
not. It's Australian spring water, apparently. I'm still not sure where they're coming from and how they're getting here. But they just keep turning up at my door. And now there's not even a doorbell. They just keep leaving them there.
So even the delivery driver is just like, I want nothing to do with any of this.
So in 3 days, she received 150 bottles.
I mean, at what point do you just start selling them? Like, being like, yeah, I guess I'm a shop now. Like, who's sending, like, surely there's a label on the package to be like, hey, this is from this company or this business.
So apparently the drivers had the first name of the person that was making these orders, right? When I got hold of one of them, they tried to call the number connected to the deliveries, but the number is disconnected.
Oh, fuck. Right. Okay. So no way to contact them.
I bring it to you, because a lot of other like detectives have tried to solve this, and you are the man who solved literally every case you've ever had in the history of this show.
That is true. So yeah, you have nothing to go on, really. No evidence at all. The only thing you know is that sports drink and spring water keep showing up.
They're using DoorDash. That is the app they are using, but she cannot get any information off it.
Interesting. So, okay, so DoorDash, like Deliveroo, I'm assuming? So you can,
yeah, something like that.
Order food, get delivered, pick it up at your door. Right. It's got to be, has she any enemies? Like, that needs to be asked. Would anyone just want to fuck with her like this?
Oh, I have a few ideas that people have put in, Sean.
Okay.
That maybe could answer your question. So one of the theories is that it was part of a brushing scam. This is where brushers order things to random addresses in order to make it appear a legitimate transaction has taken place.
Ah.
And then they write positive reviews for it online.
I see. Could this also be a money laundering thing that you like? Because then if you be like, oh, it was delivered, but it wasn't delivered to me. So then you get your money back. And then now the money is like has gone through a transaction, so it's clean.
Yeah, it could be a stolen credit card that people are just like testing shit out on the credit card.
Could work. Why her address in particular? Is it specific? I guess she probably didn't put her address on Reddit because then she would just get more deliveries, presumably.
I assume so, yes. I assume so. So this idea is either this is a scam. How are they scamming her? She's receiving drinks, not paying for any of them. Or, she also contacted DoorDash and they said that she could keep the drinks. So,
right.
She now just has 150 bottles of shit.
Maybe the hope is that she like leaves them outside and you can collect them. Because I know that's done with phones and stuff. People get phones delivered to a house to be like, and then like if it's left on the door, they just grab the phone. Now you have a phone that's been delivered to an address, is like the system. I don't know.
Wait, what?
I've heard this. My uncle works.
That sounds like something you have done, and you are also probably doing something illegal. Selling drugs?
No. See, people get phones like delivered to a house, so that the phone number exists registered to an address, and then you can use the phone number for shit.
You
can register for stuff.
Yeah. Maybe scam somebody out.
Hell yeah, you can. But I don't think it relates to Powerade and shit like that.
Also, I should say, I'm watching Narcos at the minute.
Right.
I'm just all into, like, there's definitely a drug trade going on.
Oh, of course, yeah, you're into the scheme.
I went straight from Ozark to Narcos.
Man.
This woman's money laundering all
day.
What
a transfer that is. I'm still watching Barry. It's coming out week on week. Barry, Ted Lasso, Succession, Connor, the Holy Trinity.
The Succession thing, I don't think I want to watch.
It's incredibly good, but incredibly stressful.
But I've never looked at a poster and thought, Jesus, I'm interested. I don't know if that's for me.
I was like you once, Connor.
But have you seen The Night Agent? That show that I recommended last week, that's bad, but good.
Yeah, see, we haven't started watching that yet, but it's on the... I'm going to be that guy. It's on the list. It's on the list, Connor.
You still have to watch Young Justice.
I've watched Young Justice.
No, you fucking haven't, you liar. Don't be lying to me.
Never told a lie in my life.
What happened in season two of Young Justice?
The Young Justice League, they solve some crimes, they have a bit of a falling out, they patch things up at the end.
Oh, God damn it, he's right, but I hate it. Swing in the dark. Lucky guess. So, we're moving on to our next piece of weird news, Sean. Also, we didn't solve that woman's problem. I don't know where those bottles are coming from.
Start drinking is the answer.
The only option is start drinking and then start running.
I think so. I think, yeah, you become a professional athlete, get a brand deal. Because you have so many of these cartons of drink.
Mm. Southwest flight delayed. Allegedly have over spilled rice in the aisle.
Right. I didn't think that would set things off too much, but...
A Southwest flight from Atlanta to Houston was delayed last week after a flight attendant allegedly refused to let the plane take off until rice spilled in an aisle by a passenger was cleaned up. That is, Southwest Airlines passenger Jennifer Shaper wrote about the entire saga last week. That was dubbed it Ricegate. So, Shaper claimed that she had just boarded the plane when someone spilled food in their aisle, which was noticed by a nearby flight attendant. The flight attendant screamed, "Who spilled rice?" and is walking up and down the aisles. They're refusing to leave the gate until someone cleans up the rice that's in the aisle. So what this is who spilled rice? The whole place goes silent. There's one person that knows it's their rice, yeah, but will not admit to it.
How? But was it like when they were all walking onto the plane, the rice was spilled?
Yes.
Okay. But that... So it's cooked rice. Because I was thinking maybe if it's like dry rice, it'll like skitter about and get into important parts.
I think you should look at the image of the rice, Sean. It's a pretty... It's harrowing. The word I would use is harrowing, shocking. I had nightmares. Nightmares for weeks about the rice in the
aisle. Just fucking... Someone... Just pick the fucking rice up. It's nothing. What is this?
There was an announcement that their flight would not take off until the rice was cleaned. She also showed a shot of the fallen rice on the ground, which had been covered by flight staff with a paper towel.
like a corpse, like that's being dragged out of a hotel room. What the... Did they draw little chalk lines around all the grains of rice to see where the body was?
I don't know what's happened here, but there's definitely... Somebody spilled the rice and it caused a 5-hour delay of this flight because nobody would own up to spilling the rice.
After 10 minutes, would someone not just be like, I'll pick up the fucking rice and then we can get on our way? How did it get to 5 hours?
Apparently, the flight attendant eventually took out a broom and a dustpan and they cleaned it up themselves. Okay?
Bad that they had to do that because someone made a mess, alright? But yeah. 5 hours!
The rice is clean, but this is my favourite bit. The flight attendant is mad. She has told us all that we were not raised right and she's disappointed in all of us.
Weird power trip? Is it just she was having a bad day? Like, what's going on here?
What? Who brings rice on a flight?
This is another question. Alright. We booked flights to Japan, right? And I got a look at the in-flight meals. Fucking unreal looking, boy. So good. Japan Air. Pretty good.
Oh, that's going to be good. They're going to treat you well.
Honestly, Japan Air economy. better than any Aer Lingus plane I've ever fucking been on.
Ryanair, fuck you.
Oh, don't even talk. I'd be like, they wouldn't put the baggage in the Ryanair economy.
What kind of meals are we talking about?
We're talking rice. You can get sushi, man. You can get sushi on the plane. Yeah.
On the plane.
Built into the price of the ticket as well.
Oh, don't talk to me.
Built in, boy.
Ryanair, if you even ask for anything, it's 19 euro. Just straight off the bat.
And they'll park you in a different airport at the end of it.
Yeah, we're after landing in China now to get you to Japan.
The fucking, as well as with Ryanair as well, you have like, it's like, oh, whatever, 20 quid for the ticket. 80 euro to bring a bag with you.
Oh, they don't fuck about. It's just like, 19 euro, great, one way. And then you look at it, it's like, yeah, you want to bring a bag? That's going to be 30. You want to bring a human? That's going to be another 30. Oh, what's that, shoes? Oh, brother, 10 more euro. Just add it on.
Oh, you're flying back as well? No.
And you want to choose the seat that you're on? Oh, that's going to cost you. That's a paddling.
Nah, but we hope you have a great time. Hope you enjoy the flight.
But I still go back to the Twitter page for Ryanair is amazing. They had another one today that was like, if you ask me, Ryanair having no chargers on their flights is absolutely outrageous. And they just replied with, but we didn't. Just your shousery.
Just who cares at that? Like... You're still going to end up flying with them all the time.
I love that that is their marketing thing of like, you're going to fly with us. Yeah. We don't give a shit.
We'll get you there and we won't crash most of the
time. They like neg you. They neg you into flying with them.
Just fly in Ryanair for the misery.
Like, you hate us, we fucking hate you, but you need us.
None of us want to be here, but we're getting paid.
Sean, we're moving on to our next piece of news, and I have a man tried to climb one of Canada's most famous public artworks, then got trapped inside it until rescuers found him.
It's poetic, really. He became part of the artwork for a minute.
So this is reminded me, and this is a very specific reference that only you will get, the Nace Ball.
Ah, the Nace Ball, of course. Wow.
So I'm not going to get you to people to look up the Nace Ball. It's just an Irish thing that's just a big fucking ball.
Big sculpture on a motorway. It's a big sphere just outside of Nace in Kildare.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, there's a Nace Ball. If you're from the country, it's how you know you're getting near to Dublin, is when you see the big Nace Ball. Did you know it's a time capsule, Connor?
No way.
There's a rake of shit in there from the 80s and 90s.
I'm robbing it. I'm going straight there.
Well, this is the thing. If we push hard enough, will it turn over and all of the contents tip out?
My favourite thing I ever read about the Nace Ball was when Paul Mescal comes back to home, he's going to have to introduce Phoebe Bridgers to what the Nace Ball is.
Absolutely, he will. And I guarantee he did as well. There was a Guinness ad. Michael Fassbender walked past the Nace Ball.
He did
in
not.
That ad. He did. Oh, he did indeed.
That was the most star-studded ad I think I could ever think of. Just because, not even Fassbender. Fassbender is all right. Once the Nace Ball shows up, I mean,
forget about it. Like,
all bets are off.
I had that song Heyday playing in the background. Then he goes to Galway, jumps in the sea, swims to America to apologise to his brother for something. And then they share a Guinness, Connor.
Is that... What is that? I cannot remember that at all.
I'll send you this later on because it's ridiculous. I'll put it in the Detective Devilman group, actually, because everyone should see it.
And how old is Fassbender?
Oh, he must be like early 20s.
Oh, like, it's like really ages ago.
It's ages ago. Like it's early 2000s.
Okay. I want you to look up this artwork, by the way.
Canadian because artwork.
Police have hit 26-year-old Joaquim with a $5,000 fine in charge of one count of mischief, Sean. Our favourite charge. After he climbed inside the most famous sculpture in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, and got trapped inside it over the weekend. It took three teams of emergency responders, including a technical rescue team from the fire department, about an hour and a half to try and get him out of the fucking sculpture.
Without damaging the sculpture.
Which is made from 1,000 handcrafted stainless steel spheres.
Oh. How do you get inside that? That's impressive.
He climbed to the top and fell in.
Amazing. outstanding. The Talus Dome.
It's definitely a first for me, said the Fire Rescue Services Chief, Troy Brady. Now, that is a Fire Rescue Services Chief name.
What am I going to do? Troy Brady?
Fucking... Just goddamn try, Brady. It's definitely different than what we would typically use it for. The jaws of life, that's what he's talking about, Sean.
Of course.
Kind of, it sounds like a joke, but when you actually think about it, kind of bit of a harrowing sentence to say out loud. He appears to have climbed to the top of the silvery structure and slipped inside through a gap between the balls. He shouted for help to let people know he was trapped, and it was another hour before anyone knew he was even in there.
That sounds like a structural flaw in the balls, to be fair, that they didn't... the artist probably didn't plan to have someone climb on top of it.
Yeah.
Surely, it's got to pop into your head, oh, I should make all these balls really secure.
Connor Swint has then commented and said, it was kind of like watching a mouse fall into a bucket. A local resident who witnessed the incident while out running. He was just kind of running around inside of it, starting to freak out because he couldn't get out.
I mean, you would, wouldn't you? But would you, like, he's already broken it, so why not just start smashing the walls of the thing?
So you're thinking take the whole thing apart?
I'm thinking, like, in for a penny kind of a thing. Like,
you're forgetting Canada. World's nicest place. That man isn't going to cause any damage to that thing.
Well, he's already caused damage to the thing, Connor. Mm. You know, be that by accident or no, the sculpture's damaged.
The sculpture cost over $500,000 to build, according to the local paper.
Oh, no.
And so apparently they moved it in 2018 to avoid additional vandalism to that area.
Before, right?
Yeah, yeah. The name Talus Dome is a reference to the talus earth formations that naturally accumulate at the base of steep slopes, Sean.
Interesting fact.
Sounds like something that's in National Treasure 2 that he uses to solve a riddle.
Yeah, it's a clue to another clue.
So apparently, this view proved hard to resist, Sean. And he said, I just wanted to go on an adventure. And I climbed up there and I ended up slipping and falling through. When he realised he was stuck, he thought to himself, this is bad.
Yep, that's me. Bet you're wondering how I got here.
So, Sean, I want to put you in that scenario. You fall in.
Yeah.
And I think for the first minute or two, you keep it cool. You're like, it's probably easy to get out.
Yeah, I got in, I can get out again. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then as you try and move them and they all will not budge, and then you look up and the gap that you fell through is like 12 feet in the air, and you're like, oh, I can't get out.
But, like, do I have my phone on me? Because I would just call a friend with a ladder and some rope.
What if you broke your phone on the fall?
I mean, yeah, like a sphere. Statistically, the hardest shape to climb, I'm sure you know. I'm kicking. I'm just kicking at the weakest looking ball. To try and force my way out.
They're all the same.
No, they're different sizes and stuff.
So what you're thinking is you're like going to walk. You're going to walk around with your broken phone, clinging them, and you're looking for a hollow one.
No, I'm not even attacking the spheres directly. I'm looking for the weakest linkages between spheres,
and I'll
systematically deconstruct the sculpture from there in such a way it can be put back together.
I'll be honest with you, you will be stuck in there for days.
No, not at all, Connor. Not at all.
This is one of those scenarios where you are just blindly confident that you can do something with no evidence.
I'm just, legitimately, I'll be out of there. I will get out of there.
Legitimately? Seconds. That's all it would take.
No. It'll take time, but all I'm saying
is... What time are you putting on yourself?
What time do I fall in at?
You fall in at 10:03.
A.M.?
A.M.
I'll be out of there by 3 p.m. For better or worse, I'll be out of there.
But, like, there's help outside. You're like, stay away, you bastards.
Look, like, if the balls were able to break up top, I can break them down bottom.
But they weren't broken. There was just a gap up top.
How did he fall in such a fucking gap then?
I don't know. He fell head first.
Head first? Yeah. Head first onto his phone, did he?
Yeah. He fell. You're trying to. I'm breaking your phone as part of the story. I don't know if his phone is broken.
Well, all right. The phone is broken. That's fine. Now I have a tool I can use. I'm smashing the phone in between all the little balls.
You're literally taking the phone apart within minutes.
I'm not even taking it apart. Just like a phone is a solid enough thing, you know. I can I can use that to wedge. I can jimmy with that.
Like, what are you jimmying?
The balls! I'm going to separate them.
How?
Okay, the way the spheres work, right? When they when they touch, they only touch at one point, okay? Mm. Because of the way spheres are. So there's the very smallest bit of weld in between all of these.
Oh, okay.
All I need to do is fatigue that weld enough to the point that it
fatigue
shatters. That's the term you would use, okay?
I just need to fatigue
metal
the weld.
Fatigues. It goes through.
Are you
going to
fatigue
stresses.
It by, like, mentally? Like, talking to it? Maybe making it run?
Yeah, I do that every Wednesday. No, I'm, like, chipping away at it over and over again. Then I get a bit of wiggle going, and then I'm yanking on the thing.
Yanking on
it. And then the ball pops out. Now I've got a ball to use as a hammer.
But surely when the ball... surely when the ball comes out, you're free.
No, I need to do a couple of balls, probably.
Oh, sorry, like, so this is going to take fucking hours. What'll happen is you'll get your arm trapped and have to chop it off. No reason.
Sean, are you holding on to the ball?
Yes. So, Sean, I think that's it for this week's Weird News.
Oh, we end on another mental triumph for Sean Meehan. Would you like
have
me to take this out, Connor?
Yes.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode of Weird News. We'll be back on Friday with Hero or Zero. Monday with Movies Monthly. That's Movie Mondays Monthly. We'll settle on a name. And then next Wednesday with another episode of Weird News. Wednesday, big shout outs to everyone over on Patreon. That's patreon.com/heroesforhirepodcast. Shoutouts, of course, go to Roisin the Wife Palmer, Joe Burney, Ryan Komatsu, Dozer Enthusiast Evanson, Anonymous Comrade, Viva La Revolution, David Clark, Sean Chuckle in the Wash and It'll Be Grand Jamieson, Dominic, Anna Irish Walrus Forever Hill Roos, Danny McLaughlin, Where We're Going, We Don't Need Roads, We Need Cake, Lord Smish, Michelle Brown, Michaela Doughty, Frost, Buster, Ed Ball, Lorraine and Connor have swapped the order of their names to purposely bamboozle Sean. Russ, I need some advice. ChatGPT advised me to send money to a Nigerian prince. Should I? Parfit. Jackson yes. Bruheim. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, yes, absolutely. Send everyone money on the internet. Via patreon.com/heroesforhirepodcast.
That's what you said to everyone.
Thank you also to Jackson Bruheim. Liz had a few too many on St. Paddy's Day and tipsily subscribed to the Patreon. And Kira Lawler. Thank you also so much for the continued support. I really do appreciate it. And there will be a movie review going up soon on the Patreon. And you also have the Green Lantern review from this month that went out. So heaps of stuff over there if you're interested. There's also a merch store, heroesforhire.ie/shop. Twitter's at heroesforhirepod. The 4 is the number 4. Facebook is Detective Devilman's Discussion Group. Instagram is heroesforhirepodcast. And the best way to ever help out the show is to tell one human being that we exist.
Just the one, please.
So I think that's about it, Connor.
I think so. So I've been Connor Lawler.
I escaped from a sculpture.
See you next week, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.